Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening.
Good evening, dear. And welcome, everyone. Thank you all for hanging in there during this series of shows on shame. I can tell you it's been really hard on me.
It's been very purifying for you.
Yes, it has.
And may we all be blessed by that.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Veronica. Well, I'll be happy when all this is over. I really don't think I can walk through much more here.
Well, how are you doing?
Well, I'm pretty rough. You know, if you could kind of imagine somebody who's been run over by a truck several times, that's who you're talking to right now. And there is some phenomena, folks, that as these shows have gone on and the preparation for them and the information that's come to me, I have certainly processed this through my body, and Veronica, you're very much aware of this.
Boy.
And I've talked before about the fact that we are integrating all lifetimes in, and what's been interesting for me is that I have a magic kidney, which is where we tend to park our childhood pain and so on. And as people have worked on that kidney, they have indicated that it's its own universe, and lifetimes, cosmic lifetimes, everything being processed through there. So, you know, I can say to you that, you know, hopefully nobody has gone through what I've gone through. I know some of you certainly have written to me telling me that you've been in process with all of this, and we're almost through it. So tonight, shame in our bodies, no body is perfect.
I just want to say a little something, Jackie, is that, you know, we're often, a lot of us are always working on, you know, which parts of our body store which emotion and so on. But you're really a good example of how the purpose of knowing all that is because the whole thing eventually will move us out of that, we hope in minutes, but it'll probably be some years yet, right?
Yeah.
And then what?
You mean, are we talking about with the sacred dispensation?
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about generally that our bodies will act out our emotional, mental, and spiritual processes quite a bit. And you're moving through so much, and I think you're just ahead of the pack as far as not being so limited by your body in the future, you know?
Well, you know, Ronnie, and here's what I'll say is that for whatever reason, I decided to kind of try to do it all in this lifetime.
Good for you.
And evidently not only human lifetimes, but all lifetimes. Now, I've said before, we're integrating all these lifetimes in, and you know, during the sessions, part of the invocation is the allowance for other lifetimes on other planets, levels, dimensions, universes to come in and participate through the healing sessions, through one of the bodies, because your bodies are split during the sessions. And my experience so far is that that is really happening. I mean, I tend to be a living example of that right now.
Mm.
This has certainly been difficult. It's taken a lot of people holding me together to get through these shows.
Mm.
And I certainly don't consider myself a wimp by any stretch of the imagination, but I can tell you that, you know, as a species, and they've said this from the beginning, you know, we're shame-based. You know, this is not our fault. And for those that are listening tonight, I would say to everybody who's listening tonight, if you're listening to this show, you came in to make a major difference on this planet, and this stuff has been difficult for you. You know, shame has not been easy because it's come at us from every single direction. And I would say to everybody listening, you came in to make a difference. You took on things that perhaps didn't look difficult from the outside, but from the inside were tremendously difficult for you because of your levels of sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
If you take someone whose home, you know, is not Earth, let's say, I mean, everybody is basically from the stars, but let's say, you know, you haven't had a lot of human lifetimes. You may have imprints that you carry, but maybe not a lot of human lifetimes. Mm-hmm. You come into this lifetime at this juncture with the goal of taking on a whole lot so that in the process of your healing, you're going to make a major difference.
Mm.
And that's a lot to do. So my heart goes out to every one of you that's what this work is about as far as I'm concerned. It's been worth every minute of this to know that it's making a difference for everybody that's listening tonight. And I don't say that as a martyr or self-sacrificing. I say that because we're all in this together. I see us as a team, and I see us all moving forward together. I see everybody is incredibly courageous. You can't be a human and not be full of courage.
That's for sure.
So, you know, again, I thank everyone who is here, who is on the planet, let alone, you know, listening to the show and committed to making this shift to healing the shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Veronica, as I told you, I'm hoping that this is the last in the series before we do the sacred dispensation. They may do one wrap-up show next week, I'm not sure,
mm-hmm.
to kind of do a review and bring everything to the surface so that the purpose for these is so that when they do the sacred dispensation, you're really clear about where you took on the damage.
Mm.
This has not been to rub people's nose in it. It's been to say, look, more than likely, you know, we've had so much experience in this lifetime. We've lost the places where it got imprinted.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we may not even realize where they came,
mm.
how they came. So the purpose of this has been to stir it up, not to make people sick, not to make it difficult for them. I know that the intention is never for me to suffer. You know, they don't want that for me either. It just happens to be the way I take things on, which I'm definitely looking for a more elegant path here.
Well, here you are, a cute little blonde, and you have to do something so mighty, then.
Well, I don't know. I must be very tall out there, Veronica.
Canadian height, yes.
I must be a really big being out there, you know, in terms of physical size would be my guess. So tonight, shame in the bodies, and I think this is such a great subject because we forget, and in fact, I think a lot of times we don't even realize how much shame we took on from the moment that we came entered the womb, that is body related.
Mm.
And, you know, I want to start with pregnancy, and folks, I'm going to, you know, I'll give the call-in numbers when we're through the material, if we can get through it tonight. And, you know, I really want to take everybody's calls. It's just, it feels as though we've had so much material to cover in a relatively short period of time. So it's certainly not that I don't encourage people to call. It's just trying to get through this information so we can get to the sacred dispensation for all of us, myself included.
Me too. I'm still working on self-forgiveness, actually.
Yeah, well, again...
It's related.
I'm sorry?
It's related. I can feel that.
Oh, it's definitely related.
Yeah.
It's definitely related, Ronnie. And, you know, there's a part of us also that, you know, has had difficulty with why did we take all this on, and that, you know, I don't want to get off on that subject. Perhaps next week that'll be part of it, because I agree with you. I think they tie in together.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to start with coming into the womb. And I was talking with someone this morning, and she brought this up, and I thought, wow, how profound. And she was talking about the fact that we pick up mom's shame in the womb of her pregnant body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something I had never thought of, to be very honest with you.
Hmm.
You know, especially young mothers, they go through all of these bodily changes. They're used to having these, in most cases, these cute little figures. And, you know, they put on too much weight. They lose their figure. They're uncomfortable. They're swelling. They're wearing these ugly clothes.
Well, they weren't supposed to have sex in the first place. So.
Well, yes, yeah, so there's that as well.
Well, I think that throws a hefty shame.
I'm sorry?
I think that throws a hefty shame in there.
I didn't hear you, Veronica.
I think it adds to the shame.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I was one of those. I was 16 and pregnant. Mm. And so my daughter got, you know, the full dose.
Really, yeah.
Okay? She got the full dose from me. And, you know, the majority of our audience is not real young, although some of them are. And, you know, for the older ones listening tonight, you know, we had to wear these lovely pregnancy clothes. Today, and I'm so thrilled to see this, by the way, that the mothers, and you see them, of course, in the media more than any place, are showing their bodies. They're not covering them up with the pleated look and the this and the that. They don't have that shame around being pregnant that I think we did during our time of pregnancy, Veronica.
Right.
And there tends to be more pride in being pregnant, in being able to show the stomach and, you know, this is my baby. I think
Demi Moore helped with that, don't you think?
Yes, I think so as well. That.
With her naked pregnancy.
Yes. And then, you know, we go into the shame and pain of delivery. Now, I don't know about you, Veronica, but when I was in delivery with my daughter, I was in so much pain that I remember tearing my clothes off. And I absolutely, it was just, you know, afterwards I was terribly embarrassed. But it is not the most lovely way to do anything. You know, you're exposed, you're going through a lot of pain. And again, the baby takes us on.
Right.
And of course, certainly all of us heard from our mothers what they went through to give us birth.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, you come out of the womb, and the first thing that happens is you are naked, you are warm, comfortable, connected, you come out, you get a spanking, they put stuff in your eyes, throw you on a cold scale, okay?
And say things like, she's not very pretty, or she's not very handsome.
Oh, yes. I mean, and, you know, children come out, and they have distortions, they head may be distorted, you know, the eyes are swollen, and, you know, babies are taking this in. And, you know, there's lots of other kinds of shame that come in at this time, but I really want to stay with bodily shame tonight.
Okay.
And of course, then circumcision for little boys, which is the infliction of pain attached to their penis. And, I, you know, this one is always so primordial to me. I find this really difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my son is circumcised and because it's what you did. But, you know, if I were to do it today, if I were to be pregnant today, I wouldn't even consider it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even consider it. And, you know, and a spanking.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing you receive is a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of this warm, wonderful place. And then you enter this cold, impersonal world. Okay? And the first thing they do is wrap you up, cover you up. So that freedom of being, you know, so natural, so beautiful in the womb, all of a sudden has all this stuff on it
mm-hmm.
that humans put on a baby. And then, you know, they take the baby home. Babies are so beautiful, so wonderful. And, you know, those first, I don't remember what it is, month or two maybe, the feces doesn't smell and, you know, it's still cute. You know, Bill Cosby does a great, you know, scenario on this about, you know, oh, the baby did his poo-poos and so on, and then all of a sudden it starts to smell, and everything changes, you know.
Staking a claim on its reality. Yeah.
Well, and then we start heaping shame on, you know, they dirtied their diaper, you know, they wet themselves, they, you know, again, all of this energy that, you know, not being conscious, which is a race we're not.
Right.
We're absolutely not conscious of what we're heaping on to babies. And we all received it. Every one of us is a recipient of this.
You bet.
And, you know, at that point, you know, the baby starts going into this whole time of self-discovery of fingers and toes. They're still totally identified with mom. They don't really see themselves as separate. But it's this beautiful, natural exploration. If you take the diaper off, they're touching themselves. That they really don't know what they're doing. They're having such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
It is so innocent and so beautiful, and yet I have seen mothers reach out to a baby who touched its little penis or vagina and spank their fingers. No, mm-hmm. no, don't touch that. And, you know, again, we don't even realize how much damage that we're doing with these children. And from our perspective that we received,
mm-hmm.
we don't have conscious memory of this stuff, but it's still there. And then we move into the wonderful world of potty training. Now, Veronica, I don't know about you, but I had a mother-in-law that had absolutely convinced me that her child was potty trained at 6 months. Now, I had no family, so I had no yardstick or way of knowing if this was real. But what I put my poor daughter through, and myself.
Well, was she potty trained really young?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes, she was. And do I think it helped her? No. I mean, does she have any of those kinds of hang-ups? Absolutely not. I outgrew through that as a miracle to me. But it, to me, I got real clarity that it was the peer pressure that was, you know, I forced a child to do something that she was absolutely not prepared to do. I'm the one that went crazy.
Hmm.
But, you know, could it have created shame for her? Absolutely.
Hmm.
And so with my son, I didn't care if he was in diapers for life. I was convinced I wasn't going to do that to him. I wanted him to grow up with, because by that time I'd found myself.
Hmm.
I was 16 with my daughter. I just turned 17 the day after her birth. With my son, you know, I was 7 years down the road, and I was going to do it my way. And I absolutely was not going to do anything that created shame for him. And, but during this whole process of potty training, again, the attention is all focused on feces and urination and the fact that the child is a failure if they dirty their pants, if they do anything wrong, and all the shame we heap on them, again, around bodily function, which comes back to body.
Right.
And, you know, I have seen with children or adults with digestive problems and issues around major shame issues around bowel movements and things that actually started in childhood,
mm-hmm.
in body training, that went on into their adulthood. And I found this so fascinating that something like that, and of course they have no conscious memory of where it started. And, you know, then they get into that experimentation of natural childlike curiosity of their body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked about this once before, the naturalness of that, the wonder of that. You know, my little boy used to stand under the faucet in the tub and love to have his little thing in the faucet. And, you know, I would just giggle because I thought it was the funniest thing I ever saw. But, you know, again, you know, we're a puritanical society, and there are those that were, you know, told it was bad and wrong and no, don't do that and shame on you. And again, this attaches to the body parts. And then, you know, children get into playing doctor and, you know, examining one another, and Lord, you know, help us all if they get caught. And depending on, you know, where the consciousness of the parent is at that time. And again, you know, I don't want to put any more shame on anybody, because we've all done things to our children that if we had them today, we would do totally different. This is the familial chain of pain passed on to us. It just goes on from generation to generation. That's what we're here to do, is to end that chain of pain. And, you know, to help our children and our children's children be more conscious. You know, and I certainly am seeing this more with young people today who are having children that are really conscious and not inflicting shame on the children.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that, Veronica?
Yes, I have. Yeah, and they're much more awake to it than
oh, they really are, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But for all of us that grew up with basically shame-based parents, you know, we are still dealing with this shame, and we may not remember any of it, or we may remember some of it. But if we have issues, you know, we may be able to attribute them at least, and again, all we're doing here is stirring stuff up. Then the child, of course, enters kindergarten. And this is where they begin the realm of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I call the loss of innocence, because it's here, even in a kindergarten environment, that because children are naturally cruel, you know, I don't know where this comes from, but, you know, they get teased because they're too tall, too thin, too fat, too poor, you know, neglectful grooming. And what the children don't inflict on one another, oftentimes teachers do. Not intentionally, and I don't believe teachers do this intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But it can happen.
Well, it's a style of keeping control in a way, isn't it? Keeping everybody in line.
Well, yes.
Line up.
I'm sorry?
I said line up.
Well, yes. And, of course, even eating habits. You know, in kindergarten, anything having to do with the body, children have, you know, mistakes at school. You know, they may wet their pants or, you know, not get to the bathroom in time. And the other children make fun of them, and it can be horribly embarrassing and shameful for them. Horribly embarrassing and shameful. And, of course, because we're seeing children act out in kindergarten today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but when I went to kindergarten, I certainly saw them act out there. I was a chubby child. I got picked on constantly. I was one of those kids, no matter what, I was going to get it at school, and I knew it. And it just came with the territory for me.
You know, if we were in, when I was 5 years old, we didn't have kindergarten. We just went to school early if you were smart. So.
Mm-hmm.
But if you weed your drawers at school, we used to have to stand in front of the class with a wet pants on our head.
A what?
With our wet underpants on our head.
If you wet your pants at school?
You'd have to stand in front of the classroom with your wet pants on your head.
Oh, my God.
That was nuns, right? I'm not all nuns are like that, but that's what the experience was.
Oh.
So that's a bit of shaming, you'd say.
Well, you think? Absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, Catholic schools are, they kind of have their own element of,
yeah,
you know, additional shame on top of it because they represent God. So not only are you being punished by a teacher, but there is the element of God in there as well.
God is shaming you in a way, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that is devastating.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it?
It's very powerful, Veronica. That's the one that for children, you know, whether they went through a Hebrew academy or, you know, a Catholic school or whatever religion, if they were in a religious school and had that in addition to it, they have that element of God and being shamed by God on top of it. You know, then they enter, in most cases, elementary school, you know, and now they become very aware of their sexuality, their differences in terms of sexuality and body image. Now it's, I mean, and especially today, it's starting very young, but I remember even when I went, I was aware. I had little boyfriends. I had little boys I had crushes on. You know, competition began in elementary school.
Yep, you bet.
And being different in any form or fashion was loaded with shame. Too fat, too thin, too tall. It didn't matter what it was. You didn't want to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you were the prettiest boy, or the best-looking boy, or the prettiest girl, or the best athlete, you know, even in elementary school.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we go to middle school or junior high, depending on where you lived.
Mm-hmm.
And now, this is where it really ramps up, because you've got hormones now starting to move. Rates of development for boys and girls, and of course the girls developing before the boys. And you have both kinds of shame. You have the little girls who developed early and the little girls who didn't develop and were flat-chested. Either way, they were going to get teased. And they were going to feel a sense of shame and embarrassment. You know, even for a mother who wouldn't buy a child a bra, okay, the embarrassment of seeing yourself develop and trying to get, there's no way to cover that up.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I saw this in many cases where mothers were in denial about their children's development and refused to buy bras for them.
Hmm.
And, I mean, I was one of those where I was just absolutely mortified because it was so apparent. I developed very young, and it was so apparent to the kids in school. And of course, then comes the gym experience, which, now, you know, I don't know if you experienced any of this, Veronica, but for me, The gym experience was absolute torture. First of all, I again, without having my own family, I didn't understand how other women looked, what their bodies looked like, and I just assumed mine was flawed. And so I was terribly embarrassed about dressing down for gym, about, you know, I didn't understand there were all different kinds of breasts. I didn't understand, you know, and for little boys, the same thing. Little boys going to school, they don't understand that there are different sizes of penises.
Right.
You know, and they're thrown in the mix, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And right there among their own peers, they begin to experience teasing and shame.
Right.
Now, this is, and of course, you know, if you were overweight or underweight and you had to run around in your shorts, the other boys could see you, you know, out on the schoolyard. A very, very embarrassing time for children. You know, there were some kids that flew through that. I just didn't happen to be one of them. Again, I developed very early and was convinced that I just had a horrible-looking body just because of what I grew up with.
Right.
And so it was, and as I compared myself to everybody else, I just saw myself as not measuring up in any manner, shape, or form.
And maybe a lot of the kids do that automatically, you know.
Oh, I think they all do.
Mm-hmm.
I think children are all, I mean, we are a competition. I mean, this is inbred into us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Competitiveness and performance. Now, when you're going through all of the hormonal stuff, of course, then menstruation.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we have called this the curse for how long? Okay?
Yep.
You know, some girls started early, some girls didn't start till later. Again, embarrassment either way. Shame either way. And, again, today's girls, I don't think, have quite as much, and yet they have enough.
It's a bit different, isn't it? Because they've spoken about menstruation all the way through grade school, in a way, haven't they?
Yes, it's far more public today. You know, when we grew up, it wasn't as on the table as it is today.
No, you couldn't even buy any of our AIDS without having brown paper wrappers around.
Exactly. And yet, you know, I have girlfriends who have children, and I watched them when they first started menstruating and the embarrassment, not wanting their fathers to know.
Right.
Certainly not wanting their fathers to ever talk about it or ever talk about breasts in front of them, or they still carry the shame. And the boys, of course, are going through their own issues. Because now with the hormones, you're entering into all of the sexual overtones and explorations, okay? Masturbation, crude remarks, you know, things you experience with siblings, insensitive parents, parents who, you know, are too casual in the home and, you know, showing themselves to the children, which can be horribly embarrassing and devastating, and there's both sides of the coin to that one. And this is also, and of course, today, a definite element here, is this is where young boys and girls become aware of their same-sex desires. And we're seeing much more prevalence of that in today's society. And so then you have that other element of shame of what do I do with this? I'm more attracted to my same sex than to the opposite. Where do I go with that? And again, in gym class, this is, you know, I always go to gym class because I think that just breeds all kinds of stuff. Because you're also competing in sports at the same time. And the shame of your body performing or not performing. You're either an athlete or you're a klutz. You know, you're kind of nothing in between.
That was true in the olden days. That was really true because we used to get out of PE at the drop of a hat.
Well,
if you wanted to, you could usually get out. Nowadays it's different. The girls are right in there, it seems.
Yeah, I don't see quite. I won't say because again, I've seen young girls grow up who developed weight and were horribly embarrassed by the size of their breasts, and then all of a sudden developed overnight, and no, it was no longer an issue.
Right.
you know, I have a friend whose daughter was still wetting the bed at 12.
Wow.
And it was an emotional issue, but it was, again, shame. You know, this is going on today,
mm-hmm.
where we have a lot of young people that are still experiencing bedwetting,
mm-hmm.
because there's so much, and usually it's a lot of pressure from one parent to the other, where there's a lot of disharmony in the home, or a lot of what they perceive as negative attention from that parent, and that's how it manifests.
Mm.
And again, lots of shame around this.
Mm.
You know, trying to go over and spend the night because these kids are all spending the night at one another's homes, and the embarrassment of that, and, you know, how do I get my sleepy pants on, you know, not
right.
let anybody see, you know.
Wow. That's awfully hard.
Oh, it's tremendously, and I've seen it in such direct involvement. And, you know, again, this anchors into the cells, and mm-hmm. we're going to get to that in a minute here. I don't want to bore people too much, but, you know, then getting into high school, and by the time you enter school, you're carrying a whole lot of baggage with you by the time you enter high school.
Mm.
Okay? And constant comparison of yourself to others. You know, how do I measure up? How do I compete? Because girls are taught to compete with one another for the attention of boys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that this has been inbred to the species.
It's a way to get your man.
The way to get you're a competitor with every woman
mm-hmm.
for the attention of a man. Now, we're starting again to see that change to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there. It's still cellular. It's still cellular. And, you know, you've got all the varieties. You've got your looks. You've got your bodies, your brains, your sense of humor, your clothes. You know, what do your parents do for a living? Their income. You know, divorces. Okay? All of these issues figuring in. While you're dealing with a developing body
mm-hmm.
and the competition, and whether or not I measure up, am I enough? And you will never be enough when you compare yourself to any other human being, because there's always going to be somebody
right.
who is better looking, smarter, prettier, more handsome, more athletic. You know, it just is what it is. And what you see, this is where a lot of the really negative play out comes. With kids who can't fit in a competitive way, so they act out in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you see the bad boys develop, the, you know, the loose girls, as they would call them. You know, they have all kinds of names for them. But they find a different way to fit. They're looking for a niche, and that niche a lot of times can take them down a really tough path.
Mm-hmm.
And not only can it can, again, create more shame.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I see that split off really occur. Now, you've got also children, you know, who by the time they're in high school dealing with, again, around their bodies, what I would consider inappropriate comments from opposite sex parents, again, inflicting shame. So this adds in to all of it, in addition to comments from same-sex parents. You know, dads, you know, making fun of their sons, they're not enough of an athlete, or putting pressure on them to be an athlete, be what I couldn't be. Likewise for mothers, be who I didn't get to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be the prom queen, you know, be the best looking, the thinnest, the smartest, you know, all of these things that, again, convert back to shame. But you're in that stream of comparison and competition in a huge way. Then there's the sexually active. And, you know, that's a whole other arena that is, of course, very prevalent today.
Mm-hmm.
Where from your peers now in today's high schools, you know, I hate to be too explicit on this show, but there are times I have to be, where, you know, blowjobs are not considered sex.
Right.
And pressure is put on all of the girls to do this. And if you aren't doing it actively, you're not part of the crowd.
Wow.
I know that's a hard one for some people to understand.
Yeah, I've heard this one before. It just hurts me for them all, actually.
Well, again, it's, you know, we've talked about this on one of the shows. This is the pendulum swing, the play out, the desensitization.
Huh.
But also, it is the loss of esteem for oneself. You know, where is your personal value? You know, do you have to perform sexual acts in order to be valued and approved by your peers?
And according to this, sometimes that's true. You do.
I'm sorry?
Sometimes you do these days.
Absolutely you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do enough young people that I see this playing out.
Hmm.
And then this is also where kids, especially girls, develop eating disorders, bulimia, and every eating disorder known because of the pressure to be thin. And, you know, we certainly see today young people who are in extreme overweight. You know, if you go into Target or any of the kind of middle America stores, you're going to see the extreme in sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you didn't used to see when we were growing up.
Right. It was rare.
Because now you have kids who are extremely overweight and kids who are very thin.
Right.
And
they're both starving.
Yes, thank you. That's a really great point.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they are. They're definitely starving. And then we move into young adulthood, whether, you know, leaving high school and going into the workforce or going into college, which is, college is different for young people because you're moving from class to class, you're all taking different majors, so you're not really thrown into that social mix unless you're in a sorority or a fraternity. That has its own set of issues, certainly. Then you're back in the competition comparison and all the other stuff again. It's just an extension of high school on a higher, you're squared.
Right.
And now you move into the competition comparison, moving out into the workforce, whatever that may be. And, of course, then looking for a mate, a partner, a spouse. And then in that young adulthood, you enter the world of media competition. So no longer are your peers determining how you should look. Now the media is determining how you should look.
Right.
Okay, your movie stars, your magazines are all saying you have to look like this or you're substandard.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, you don't measure up. You absolutely don't measure up. And, of course, this is where we also see all the influence. And I won't even get into the whole drug issue here around the body. But that starts playing out sometimes in elementary school and going all the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see kids get addicted to crack and methamphetamines, trying to be thin, destroying their lives.
That's really sad.
It is sad, but it is also, it's truth. And, you know, we haven't even talked here about being a different nationality and all of the other things that come along with that. I mean, we've discussed that in other shows. But certainly in terms of body image, that plays in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, in young adulthood, we also get into the real issues around sexual prowess. Because today, and certainly Sex and the City has perpetuated this dramatically, sexual activity is very prevalent out there in young adults, moving all the way up into the 45-year-olds. They're very active. This is expected, you know, second date, generally a lot of times just first date, you know, meeting them at a bar. But that in and of itself can create all kinds of shame, especially if you are rejected. You know, you pick up a guy one night, they sleep with you, you never hear from them again. Rejection shame.
You also pick up his shame.
Of course you do.
Mm.
Not only your shame, but his shame. Mm. And was I enough?
Mm.
And likewise for men, they get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here you now have a situation, and this is something a lot of people do not talk about. But, you know, men have an issue, too, around the size of their penis.
Mm-hmm.
Am I enough? There's so much emphasis today on body parts. You have to have big boobs. You have to have a big penis. You have to have this. You have to have that. or you're substandard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody used to talk about those things.
We used to chop and channel cars, remember, not bodies.
That's right.
Things have changed, right.
Well, now you move into, of course, then along with this comes, okay, since you're falling short of perfection, mm-hmm. all right, is plastic surgery.
Right.
Which is becoming so common. I have kids in high school that are having breast implants.
Wow.
And that are having their noses done and on, especially where I live in Las Vegas, this is common practice. This is a plastic city. You know, this in Los Angeles, and I would say we're probably shoulder to shoulder with L.A.
Wow.
So, you know, now I kind of want to talk about where this stuff shows up in the body, and because this is really the big issue.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just going to give a couple of cases, and I'm sure you've got some too, Veronica, where I had one woman who was very tall, okay, in school. Now, her parents were ashamed of her, and they heaped her with shame. So not only did she get it at school, she got it at home. And she was flat-chested.
Were they shaming her because of her height?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. They treated her like an ugly duckling.
Aww.
Now, she's a stunning woman today, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But this woman, and she eventually had a breast augmentation, but the energy in her breast, because she had problems with the augmentation, she had sent so much negative energy into her chest, her breast, that her body would reject the implant.
Wow.
And she would encapsulate.
Hmm.
And she was having problems with hips and legs.
Hmm.
Again, the negative energy that she anchored into these body parts, because in childhood and young adulthood, she was so embarrassed.
Hmm.
Now, I see this show up all over the place in sessions.
Hmm. Well, I'm just thinking about one of the most widespread male problems right now is prostate, right?
Absolutely. Just like we're seeing it. And I see that more as the entire sexual issue here that's going on where, you know, the embodying, the balancing of masculine and feminine. And because there's such a huge shift going on in the planet in terms of
empowerment.
Empowerment, exactly.
Right.
And so we're seeing the masculine show up in prostate cancer and the feminine showing up in ovarian and uterine and breast cancer. It really pretty much balances itself out.
Right.
And but, you know, I'm talking even about digestive problems where, you know, a girl had a belly in high school or junior high school, and she was embarrassed, and digestive problems that ensued and carried on, where I'm still treating those today, where the energy has been anchored there.
Hmm.
Issues around breasts, I run into this an awful lot, where girls went through embarrassment and shame around their breast size, too small, too big, whichever, and ending up with problems in their breasts as a result. Embarrassment around menstruation, showing up, okay, in ovaries and uterus.
Hmm.
These are imprints. Sexual shame, where they were sexually active ahead of the time that they were really emotionally mature enough to be there, and the shame that they felt, okay, through the experience because they really weren't mature enough to enter into it from that perspective, again, and anchoring into the whole reproductive system.
Hmm.
Where men shamed them for whatever reason, rejected them, betrayed them. And this can start in junior high and high school. Bodily shame. You know, then, okay, for men, and we're going back to the prostate thing, okay, men who were uncomfortable with the size of their penises.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's a doctor who does probably more work in penile implants than anybody out there.
Hmm.
And, you know, we have, not only do we have prostate cancer, we have a huge epidemic of erectile dysfunction going on.
Right.
A huge,
or fertility in women, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are what I perceive as this, again, the pendulum swing, the crisis of it all showing up where it's showing up today. And, you know, again, this so much of this starts in the early development where it anchors in around, you know, girls who got big hips and hated them, and now we're treating their hips. Okay, they're having hip problems. And, I mean, I don't laugh about this because it's really not funny, but I absolutely see it as a major issue. And, you know, I'm going to talk about something kind of out there, like a woman with inverted dimples who rejects and is embarrassed about her breasts. I knew a woman like this, terribly embarrassed by her breasts. And she had beautiful breasts. She just had inverted nipples. But she was setting herself up down the road to have problems with her breasts. Because when you send negative energy into the cells is emotional energy, the cells are going to hold it. Every cell is a universe. Every single cell in our body responds to our thoughts. And, you know, this is where we move into the aging now, which is, you know, where I really, no matter who's listening tonight, I really want to say this to you. Every woman stands in front of the mirror. I don't know how many men do this, but stands in front of the mirror and is unhappy about something on their body. They are sending that energy, whether it's to their face, their breasts, their stomachs, their hips, their legs, and your body is going to respond. You are amplifying the aging process by sending negative energy. And then, of course, we move into also the deterioration of the body for whatever reason, where especially all of you who are listening are, you know, really into metaphysics and spiritual growth, and the shame that enters in about having something wrong with your body. You know, I'm a metaphysician. I shouldn't have this. Why do I have this? What's wrong with me?
Right.
And that can be a killer because you then go into betrayal of the body. The body's betraying me. And the body becomes your enemy. The body becomes your enemy. And I want to say to everybody, every one of us are our own universe. Believe me, if I have absolutely lived this in the last 4 weeks. And then, of course, we get into, you know, the extreme cases where we have women with mastectomies, loss of organs, prostate cancer, all of these issues, okay, that can be hugely devastating, where there is a permanent scarring of the body for whatever reason, and the shame that comes with that, the embarrassment and shame. And, you know, this is, you know, I've been saying this for years to women. Those places that you're unhappy with, touch them. Send love into them from your hands. At one point, I had a horrendous situation where I was horribly scarred. I had an infection that went through my breast. And I was scarred just, it was unbelievable. I have no scars from it. Thank you so much. But I was horribly scarred. And it took 2 years before this infection finally left my body. And it's the one I died from, Veronica.
Oh, my.
But I had always had really nice breasts, okay? And here I was, scarred, twisted, so distorted. And I spent 2 years like that. And it was a fascination for me to realize and to be able to identify with women who have mastectomies and women who are scarred and truly identify with what it takes for them to find a whole new level of who they are and take the identification off the body. it's a very big issue in our world today. And, you know, I was very blessed. I had a full reconstruction. Everything's fine. I'm, you know, blessed beyond words. I'm not scarred. I don't know how. We never figured this one out. But
it's called magic.
Well, yes, I've had a lot of that in my life.
I know, you are.
But it taught me so much about me and about my body.
Mm-hmm.
And having this raging infection, it was a fungal infection that went through my entire body. And was literally, I was rotting from the inside out.
Oh, my Lord.
And, you know, this is where, when we can take on these huge issues and the body responds, I mean, everything can be healed. I'm a firm believer in that. Certainly, they've shown me this one. But for all of you, you know, all of you, look at where you're holding issues around your body. Any place that you feel you have shame, this is the place you need to heal for you. And to have the courage to be able to say, I can love this and not be ashamed or embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you become the living example for everyone around you. You know, there's nothing more attractive to me than to see someone who loves their body. Regardless, it may not be that, you know, and in Europe you see this so much. In our country, we are so hung up.
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of my men clients say, I don't care about my woman's body in a way as long as she enjoys it. If she's a little heavy, if she's a little thin, it doesn't bother me at all as long as she enjoys who she is. I've heard that a number of times.
There is nothing more attractive than someone who is comfortable with their body.
And then they'll share it better, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have seen very powerful, successful men with women that shock me. I mean, I knowing, you know, what I do in terms of who can have who and so on and so forth out there, if you look in the world of competition. And watch them be madly in love with their wives, who would not be considered a stunner, but who had a level of confidence and joie de vivre and joy about them that was so infectious that the longer you knew them, the more beautiful they became. Now, we see this with men all the time, but rarely do we really see this with women.
Right. We're pretty anxious about it, aren't we?
Oh, I think terribly anxious. I think that, you know... You know, I have said this all along. Beauty and good looks are, you know, on a man, really begin on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And very few people can really believe that about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And our society today certainly does not breed that. I know living in Las Vegas, there is, no matter what you do, you know, there are all forms of veneers for your teeth and plastic surgery and, you know, meso this and tighten that and inject this. And, I mean, it's a way of life here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, you go to Whole Foods and half the women in there have just come from their injections in their face. I can't think of what it's called. Botox. And so...
I love that, you know, when you get to be older and wiser and you're just radiating all the light that you've accrued through the years and through your experiences, that's the kind of life I'd like to age into if I could.
Well, we know that with this work, we're doing reversal of the aging process.
That's right.
And I know that I have women who get impatient. You know, I want it and I want it now. I want this tightened, that lifted, and it's like, no, no, no. Okay? This is organic. It begins from the inside out. If you're focusing on the outside trying to change, it'll never happen. You focus on the inside and heal all the emotional damage, and you will see what happens to the outside because it will start lightening and coming to life.
Right.
That's the way it works for all of us. For all of us. The more we heal, the lighter we get, the more beautiful we become, the more handsome we become, the more filled with light we become. And people are drawn to that. They sense it. They see it on another level. All right. Veronica, we're moving up towards the end of the hour.
Oh, my. We're not done yet.
I know.
I still have a little shame here, Jackie.
Now, folks, I want to say to you, I don't know if we're doing the dispensation next week. Next week may be a wrap-up. I may be doing it in channel. I may be doing it, you know, this way. I'm not certain. There will be an announcement sent out to everybody, you know, announcing what the subject is going to be. I pretty much been kept in the dark.
But our shame isn't. I've noticed my shame is sort of rising in my awareness over and over again, and in other people, too.
It's wonderful. And the purpose of this, again, is not to create more shame, but so that you can identify what you're lifting and why.
Yeah.
What you're really ready to let go of, to give permission to lift.
It's really working, too.
I certainly hope so for everyone out there that's listening, and I want to thank all of you for your courage. You know, this is not exactly what you say to your friends. You want to go home and listen to a show on shame tonight. Yeah. Oh, goody.
Oh, this is a lot of fun, yeah.
Let me just stab myself in the foot while I'm at it. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, folks, and believe me, I've walked through this very physically, so I do know it. I'm very excited about coming to the end of this as well. You know, is it going to lift every bit of shame? Probably not, but it will start a process that's ongoing, and there will be a significant shift. That part I promise you.
And it'll be contagious. We'll get it from each other as well.
Absolutely. We're all, I've said this before, we're in each other. There is no way for this not to work. Veronica, please give your website, dear.
It's www.veronicaentwistle.com. Veronica, you probably can spell it. It's Entwistle, Entwistle.com. And listen to my radio show on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. West Coast time.
On the same station?
You bet, on BBS Radio, and it's a call-in. I call it an interactive show. It's a little different than this one, but we'll cover some of the same. I keep bringing some of the streams of your shows into mine because they're the same listeners some of the time.
And it's called Radiance by Design.
Radiance by Design.
And Veronica is wonderful. I love the call-in part. Hopefully we're going to get to that, a lot of that, I'm hoping. And, of course, my website, www.ethealing.com. To all of you, I thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Certainly we appreciate, I know, Veronica, I speak for you here, we appreciate all of you who are willing to really look at these issues, knowing that as we lift this together, we are going to make a significant difference on the planet.
Right.
We're starting the ball rolling, and it's got to start somewhere. Every one of you are committed to making a difference on this planet. And we start it whichever way we can, whatever way calls us, and certainly to lift shame, to help all of you move into your great work and become all that you can be to make the greatest difference that you can on this planet. That's the goal that we all have. And to have the most exciting, beautiful, wonderful life possible, to be a living example of what it is to be fully in the light, to be fully in your joy, and to be fully in your love. I send to everybody my total unconditional love. They always say that, and I say it for them tonight. Veronica, I love you, and I appreciate your input in the shows and your wonderful, beautiful energy. Certainly, you always come from your heart and touch people at so many different levels.
Thank you. And you, thank you for the opportunity, Jackie, and for lifting the shame with me. This is great.
Well, again, we are looking forward to this and to the sacred dispensation of this. Again, for those of you who are listening tonight, the energy is certainly streaming into your home. When the show is over, they will remain if you ask them to, and certainly be willing to work with you during the night if you want to call them in, and so that you can move through this all more elegantly. We wish you well, and say good night.
Good night. Many blessings.